Mamacita, cita, cita.
What's up, everybody? This is the Stoney Says Podcast. We got Aaron Summers from the Knicks Wall on here today. You can follow him at __UCIT on Twitter. And then you can follow me at Stoney__says on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to hit us both up. We're talking about sports fandoms, Knicks moments, the Orioles, how bad they are, the Redskins, how bad they are. Just kind of all kinds of good stuff. We're going to take your mind off of some things. I know the world is a little hectic and crazy right now. I want everybody to stay safe and be smart about whatever they're doing, if they're going out to protest and all that kind of stuff. Just be smart. Stay safe. Remember, the coronavirus is still kind of a thing, so if you're worried about that, be conscious of that. I want everybody to be cool, all right? Let's have some fun. Jokes, sports, normal things for maybe like 30 minutes or so. I don't know. Have a good time. Follow both of us. This is the Stoney Says Podcast, episode 3. All right. We are now joined with 26-time MVP winner in 4 major sports across professional sports across America. He's a quarterback. He's a receiver. He's a point guard. He's a center. He plays hockey here and there. It doesn't matter what he does. He's going to win at every moment. This is Aaron Summers of the Knicks Wall. How you doing, man?
I'm good. That's a good intro. This is probably the most decorated podcast episode of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it was either you or it was me. We were winning MVPs since 1973.
So it's crazy. It's a very decorated, a lot of accolades in this podcast.
All right. So for those of you who do not know at all what we're talking about right now, on Twitter, Aaron started this. I don't know how many years ago we started following each other, but it was 2-3 years ago. And you just would tweet out, you would quote tweet videos of like Russell Westbrook just dunking all over people or Steph Curry just nailing threes. And you're like, that's 86 me. And that was a tweet and that was it. And no one would favorite it. No one would retweet it except for me. And I was like, this is ingenious. Like, I have to start doing this. And every video that comes across the timeline, it's one of those things. And then it's just a back and forth between me, you, and then Maggio kind of joins in sometimes and mentions it. But it's just a running joke that we have on Twitter, me and Aaron. And he started it. He's way better at it than I am. But yeah. So how did that even start? Did you just like see a tweet one day and you're like, I got something in my head right here?
So it's like, it's always been sort of like a running joke with like our friends. Like if we see like a highlight or somebody, if we're watching a game together, they'd be like, oh man, that's you back in the day. That's like 42 you, something like that. So then like, and we'll just be like, nah, that's probably like 58 you. Like we'll just like go back and forth and do that. And then for whatever reason, one day I just brought it to Twitter. And then I was like, once I had sent, I was like, I'm keeping it. Like it just felt good tweeting. So yes. Then after that, I just kept it. And like you said, like nobody really, I don't even think, like even today, I don't even think that like people even understand what I'm saying when I just put a, like 22 me or like 77 me. Like I don't even think people really understand it. But then for whatever reason, Stone always replied or would come right back and it became a thing. So me and Stone have been teammates since college. Had a very tough battles in the AAU circuit in high school, and we've been teammates ever since. So that's the running joke, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, because your Twitter is very Tyler I Am, Trill Withers-esque, if you ask me. Like, you're the Trill Withers of the TKW, and for some reason, not everyone else has caught on yet. It will happen eventually, but your tweets are very similar to him, and it's just everything you tweet is pretty much gold. So it's quite a tremendous follow. So what is your handle for everyone that is listening?
@__
Did you hit something? You just went on mute. I couldn't hear you.
Do you hear me?
Yep, I got you now.
All right, so yeah, I didn't, yeah, I lost you
for a second. _
YOUSEEIT. So 2 underscores and then the words you see it.
All right, there we go. Technical difficulties, good old Zoom. It's quarantine, so everyone's on Zoom, so maybe killing us right there. But so yeah, that's the running jokes on Twitter. So obviously Aaron is with the Knicks Wall social gang, and that's where I was a part of until I left recently. So how did you become a Knicks fan?
number seven, Carmelo Anthony. Fair. So I grew up ever since the Syracuse run, like the particularly March, I'm not a Syracuse fan at all. I was a Maryland basketball fan. I've always been a Maryland basketball fan, but his March Madness run, like, I was like, okay, this is my favorite player. Like, this is the fucking guy. Sorry if I curse. I don't know if I'm.
No, you're good.
But, all right. but his run and then the draft. And then, so I was all like, as soon as he got drafted, like I, by default, I was rooting for the Nuggets. So I was huge into the Nuggets, him, J.R. Smith, Birdman, when they had AI, all those guys. And then once Melo got traded, it was, I've always stuck with Carmelo. Sorry, Denver, but had to make my moves to New York. But then after everything the past years, I didn't like switch to anything else. I'm still a huge Carmelo fan, but I've still always got to rock with the Knicks from now on. So that's how that happened. Unfortunately, I'm a Knicks fan though. So that's,
we both kind of just fell ass backward into the Knicks fan somehow by way of Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire as well for me. But
right.
Do you have any favorite moments as a Knicks fan? I mean, obviously we had a few good years as when Melo first got there, but after that it's been kind of dog shit after that.
Favorite moments, probably Easter, game. Mm-hmm. the Easter game when Melo hit the game tire to go to OT, then the game winner pretty much at the same spot, the same shot.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember
it's obviously easier, like you're supposed to be there with your family. My family's all upstairs and they're doing something. Like I let them know before that, I was like, once the game's on, like, I'm not gonna be hanging out with you guys. I'm sorry. So then I'm in the basement screaming while I have family upstairs, and I was pretty much watching it by myself. And then I think either my brother or my dad came down and saw the overtime shot with me. And then we were like, oh my God, this is crazy. They're not Knicks fans or anything, but they were just happy just because they know how much I like Melo. So that's for sure number one. I may have to copy Ryan from last week, and just the whole the season of Linsanity, like even after Linsanity, like I feel like that was just like a great, like that's kind of, because that's really like I kind of started being a Knicks fan 2 years prior or something like that. So Linsanity was just one of like the craziest moments, right? And then even after Linsanity, he gets hurt. He sprains his knee, so he's kind of out for the rest of the season. I forget what happened if Felton was hurt, but there was a point in time where the final stretch of the season, Baron Davis was the point guard.
Yeah.
Old Baron Davis, and then that's kind of like how like mixtape started, like how that kind of became a thing. Him, Shump, and they just got hot. Like to I think it was only to make the 8 seed. Like I think they ended up being the 8 seed against the Heat in the playoffs. So it's like they really, even after Linsanity, even after he was hurt, like they still had to win a lot of games to get to the 8 seed. And Tyson Chandler was just, I feel like he probably, if they were higher up, he would have probably won Defensive Player of the Year that year. I think he won it the next year.
When they were
the 2 seed. But it was like that season was just so crazy, and that like it was right when I was really becoming a Knicks fan. That was like the first time they were ever good as me being a Knicks fan. So that moment, I think those are that. So that year, obviously 2012, 2013, a year just in general. But I'd probably say those are probably my top three moments.
Yeah, so now we're going to go complete opposite. What's your least favorite moment? And I can tell you mine right now. It was this past season during the shortened season that we have right now. And I ended up having to tweet like 3 games in the span of a week. And I think both 2 of the losses were by 45 points or more. One was the Bucks, one was to someone else. And then they lost to the Bucks again the next week, and I was tweeting that game. And at that point, I was just over it. I was just like, I'm done. I can't tweet anymore. I hate this team. I hate Fizdale. I hate everyone on the court. Like, no one was good. RJ wasn't playing, and it was just absolutely miserable. And everyone's yelling at me on Twitter when I have no control over what the Knicks are doing. I have to tweet out whatever highlights we could. And I ended up only tweeting out like 10 highlights one game. And I was just like, we're down by 40 in the first half. What am I supposed to do?
Like, what do you expect me to do, people?
Yeah, like, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give you Knicks content. And the Knicks are bad, and you're going to get bad content in turn. So those were probably my least favorite moments as a Knicks fan. Do you have any?
I think this year sucked just because of the, live, just like you said, live tweeting. Like, it sucks when you have to, live tweet blowouts. So that was terrible. I don't know about like specific moments, but just the time when like the starting five was like Alexi Shved, Lou Amundsen, Travis Ware, maybe like Langston Galloway and somebody. And there's people from that team like I still love, but
like the meme with the Lakers.
Yeah, but just just the meme against the meme against the Lakers, the starting lineup. That is probably my least favorite.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was tough tweeting games last year, but last year we had hope. That was the good thing, is we had hope. Like, we're really bad, but hey, we might get Zion. And then, hey, we're really bad, but we got $75 million in cap room. Hey, we're really bad, but we got rid of Kristaps, we can get KD. And then none of these things happened, and we're just left in perpetual sadness as Knicks fans, which is absolutely insane to talk about, because like 7 years ago, this team was really good and they were making a really good run in the playoffs, and they were two seed in like 2013 or whatever it was. I can't remember, but in 7 years, everything completely flip-flopped, and probably actually got worse than it was.
Got worse, good. Right. It's definitely gotten worse, I feel like. And it's just like, just like you said, it's just like it, from that season, they just skyrocketed. Just what, if you see a chart, like it would just be straight down each year.
Yeah, it's just below the graph now. Like it can't get any worse than what it has been. So maybe it does. Maybe it just stays the same. Who knows? But
we'll see.
So you and I both have similar fandoms in all of our teams. Now, we're both Knicks fans. You're an Orioles fan. I'm an Astros fan. And while the Astros have won a World Series, they kind of cheated for it. So it kind of taints it. I don't care. I wear all my 2017 World Championship stuff. I didn't cheat. I watched a team that didn't cheat in 2017. Right. I had no idea that they were cheating. So it doesn't matter to me. But the Orioles are on kind of the same path that the Astros were in the early 2010s. When they got Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, and George Springer, all these guys that started coming up and through the draft, the Orioles are doing the same thing because they have the assistant general manager from the Astros during those years. So they're kind of doing the same route and just tanking every year. They're absolutely terrible. And I feel so bad for you because I know exactly how it feels to just not want to watch baseball because your team is so bad. And I feel bad that Yordan Alvarez hit like 7 home runs in one series against y'all last summer, and it was absolutely beautiful to watch him just hit bombs out of Camden Yards. It was incredible for me. I'm sure it didn't feel good to you, but what's it like being an Orioles fan? Because you're from Virginia, so I'm sure that's like the region for the Orioles.
Right. But so before you get to that, like I tweeted out a picture like 2 weeks ago of like at a game I was at Camden, and I was like I miss the Orioles, blah, blah, blah. And then one of my friends replied as a Yankees fan. He was like, yeah, I miss Gleyber Yards. I was like, fuck you. But but how I became a fan, like you said, in the DMV, you're pretty much, now it's two teams. You're either O's fan or a Nats fan. More people from Virginia are Nats fans now. But I was an Orioles fan before the Nats came to D.C., so I just always stuck with it. My first ever sporting event was at Camden Yards. So that's how I always became a Orioles fan. I was a kid. I was probably like 3 or 4, maybe younger than that. I don't even remember the game. I just remember being there at the stadium. It was something like it was our family and then like another family that we were friends with. And it was pretty like for babies or infants, the tickets were free. So I'm at the age where I'm too old to be an infant, but I'm too small, or I'm small enough where like we could try. So like my dad is picking me up, like I'm too old to be a baby, but he's carrying me, like has like a blanket over me, trying to get a free ticket. So long story short, we get in for free. And like I said, I don't remember the game. I know they lost, which in typical Orioles fashion. But it was Orioles Yankees, and that was my first sporting event. So I've always kind of stuck with that, and that's how I became an Orioles fan.
So it's been fun times. Camden Yards, of all the stadiums I've been to, I'm with complete bias, but that's my favorite ballpark. And it's great games. When there's a lot of people in the stands, it's a good atmosphere. When they're good, it's a good atmosphere too, but that's not often.
Does Manny Machado's leaving still hurt?
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Like I understand it financially, but that's the one thing that it still hurts me. I'm always gonna have his jersey. I'm still gonna wear it. That was my favorite Oriole. That was my favorite Oriole. I watched baseball, but I never had like Cal Ripken at his oldest. This probably be like who I consider. He's definitely the best Oriole, but I wasn't watching baseball consistently enough for him to be my favorite Oriole. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Miguel Tejada is probably another one, but
it was fun.
As soon as Manny came in, there was a lot of hype around him because he was one of the top players. It was a big thing, because he was in the minors for a decent amount of time. And then he came in the first time that core was making a playoff push. And then ever since then, he was just so flashy, so smooth with his game. He's always going to be my favorite Oriole. I don't see anybody else being.
No, I used to love playing with him in MLB The Show and watching him actually on TV and everything. He's a fun player to watch, and now he's in San Diego to rot, and I'll probably never watch him because I'm not going to stay up till midnight to watch, start watching a game at midnight. I'm not going to do
that. Exactly. No, it's not worth it.
But, yeah, similar to the Astros, and the Orioles were really good. In 2015, I think y'all went to the ALCS, maybe? Or was it the ALDS? I think y'all played the Royals in the ALCS, right?
We beat the Tigers, lost to the Royals. That's what it was. We lost to the Royals in the ALCS because they won the World Series. I feel like it was 2015, but they went back to back because I think they meant – I feel like they won the division twice, but
– I feel like it might have been 14-15.
14-15, but the year before they won, that's what I was mentioning when Manny kind of came up for that playoff run. That was such a fun team because a lot of those players, they were there when the team was so bad. And it's just to finally see that core, Matt Wieters, Nick Markakis, Adam Jones, JJ Hardy, all those guys where you kind of see them, especially Matt Wieters, he had a lot of hype coming in. So it's kind of finally everything finally coming into fruition, and it happened so fast. And none of those guys are here anymore. It hurts.
Yeah.
As an Oriole fan, I can truthfully tell you one person on the team, and that's Trey Mancini. So
yeah,
I can't tell you anybody else on the team. And Adley Rutschman, who was the first pick last year, but he's on the minors. So that's the only reason why I know who he is. But the downfall happened so quick. It felt like
you have no idea it's coming, and then all of a sudden it's there, and then it's just. It's over. You're going to be really bad for a little while. And then, but I think Carlos Correa and Manny Machado were very similar to us because the Orioles you were talking about how they made the playoff push in 13, 14, 15. And Correa came in 15 as a rookie, came up for the first time. He was the number one pick overall. And he came up, and the Astros ended up making the playoffs that year and should have beat the Royals in 5. And they didn't. They blew game 4. And I'm still upset about it. I was at swim practice, and my coaches wouldn't tell me the score because the game was happening during swim practice. And I got out, looked at my phone, and I was just pissed off, and I wouldn't talk to anyone after that. But, yeah, Machado and Correa, they had the two similar kind of come-ups, and the Orioles and Astros, they have a little bit. So maybe the Orioles, they got the GM, who maybe is implementing the trash can system in Baltimore. Who knows? From personal experience, I encourage it. It worked out great.
It worked.
The Astros won a World Series. They beat the Dodgers because fuck the Dodgers. But now we roll into football. And this is where our fandoms are completely identical. We have the Redskins and the Dolphins. The Redskins are really bad. The Dolphins are really bad. But now we both have coaches. We both may have quarterbacks. They're just on a similar trajectory, and we don't know what's going to happen. So talk about your Redskins fandom and RG3. You had a playoff run with RG3, and then he snapped his knee in half and just hasn't really played since.
Yeah, so man, it's been a rough 26 years of being a Redskins fan. It's been awful. But I don't even like I'm I'm pausing because I'm really trying to figure out where to start here, because it's just there's so many layers, but it's just the franchises as or the organization. So it's always been terrible. It's always going to be terrible. I've accepted that. So it's kind of it's pretty much how many good things can be put in place to kind of counter the organization, like Ron Rivera, culture guy, like no matter what, Jack Del Rio, culture guy as for our defense coordinator. So like, I'm just hoping we could just continue to put the right people around everything to kind of counter the franchise's inabilities to succeed or if, but yeah, so, man, it's, but I've always been a Redskins fan. It's weird, like where I'm from, like there's a lot of people like who are just fans of NFC East teams in general. Like they're like, obviously there's Cowboys fans everywhere, unfortunately, but there's a lot more like Eagles and Giants fans than you'd expect around here, which is kind of weird. It's kind of people here, like you're either a Redskins fan and you rock with the Redskins just cause that's the hometown team, or it's, I hate this team, so I'm just going to be a fan of anybody else sort of thing. So that's how that comes. But I've always stuck with it. My dad's been a Redskins fan. My dad was an Orioles fan too. So that's kind of how I kind of got that. Maryland basketball. My dad's a Maryland basketball fan. So that's kind of how I kind of got those by default sort of thing. But yeah, it's hard. As far as RG3, like that was the one hope. Like that was the craziest year of football for me, I still can't believe it, because like I had hope with RG3, but I didn't expect him to be so good so early. You know,
and then it was just gone.
And then it was gone, and then he got hurt, and for whatever reason, like they didn't want to just let him heal. So then he was hurt. When he came back against the Seahawks, he shouldn't have been on the field. Like he really should not have been on the field at all. And then that game changed everything. That game, just like keeping him in instead of this guy's a rookie. Like just, he had a special season. Just rest it. Let's just go off this next year. Like just, it happened. I think they were so excited to be in the playoffs that they wanted to see how far they can go instead of thinking long term, which I could see if you're an older guy, but that is the one good thing you guys have done in the past. I don't know how many years. You gotta cherish that, you know. But unfortunate for him, and good to see he's still in the league. Good to see. I think he'll get an opportunity at some point. I hope he does, but he is older now, so we'll see. But
I mean, y'all have an absolutely horrifying defensive line now. I'm a Mississippi State grad, so y'all got Montez Sweat in the later parts of the first round last year, and I thought he should have been the first defensive lineman taken in the draft last year, because I got to see him in person. Like, I was on the field when he was down there, and he looks like a wide receiver that has, like, he's 265 pounds, but he looks like a wide receiver. Like, his waist, his abs, everything's just so skinny, and he's so big and tall and fast. It just didn't make any sense, and I was like, I need the Dolphins to take him at 11 or 12, whatever we had. And then he ended up falling to the Redskins, which is great for you. It sucks for me because I don't really like the Redskins, and I don't want to buy a Redskins jersey, so I'm not going to buy a Montez one. And then on the other side now, you got Chase Young. So you're going to be getting after the quarterback this year, which if for any other reason to not watch a Redskins game, watch it just to watch the defensive line, because they're going to be really fun to watch.
Montez Sweat, Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, Matt Ioannidis, still got Ryan Kerrigan. So like that, like the, like you said, the front, the interior right there, that is crazy. We still need secondary help. As far as you mentioned it earlier about we're kind of on the same trajectory as quarterback. I think you guys are advanced there. For me, Haskins is still a question mark, but I do like our young receiving core. I think Terry McLaurin is going to be fucking special. I think he's going to be special. I like Kelvin Harmon. If Darius, I think the biggest thing for our offense is if Darius guys can stay healthy, because when he's on the field, like it's not like he's losing a step by his injuries. Like he's still productive. Yeah. So I think if he could just keep that, get a running game, Adrian Peterson's still going to be Adrian Peterson, no matter how old he is, he's still going to get the job done. I think that'll help Haskins, and then he won't have to force a lot of passes, and we have a strong run game. It'll open up a lot of things. But our, like you said, our claim to fame this year is definitely going to be the pass rush in our D line, and we're going to be getting the quarterback. So that's going to be exciting with Ron Rivera, everything around him. Who knows? You know,
we might. I mean, you might only have to score like 17 points a game to win, because your defense is going to be dirty with Ron Rivera as the coach, because he's defensive minded, and you have one of the best defensive lines in the country, like, or in the NFL. Like, I mean, it's y'all, and San Francisco's got a dirty one. I mean, the Chargers have a good one just because they have Joey Bosa, but like, I just wanted the Dolphins to take Montez Sweat, and I'm really pissed off that we didn't take him.
Yeah, man. That has a sting. Especially as a Mississippi State guy, that has a sting.
Yeah, and then like Jeffrey Simmons goes to the Titans, and the Titans, I don't care about the Titans. They're easy to go to because I live in Alabama. I'm 2 hours away from Nashville. Like, the Dolphins ever play there, we go just because it's easy. But Jeffrey Simmons is there. And then Jonathan Abrams in Las Vegas now, which is weird to say because the Raiders are in Vegas. But he's really fun to watch, and I think the Raiders are always going to be fun to watch if John Gruden is going to be the coach. So, I mean, I'll enjoy watching him. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to wear a Cowboys jersey, so I'm not going to get a Dak Prescott jersey. It's just not going to happen. And then all three of the guys that were really good while I was in school are on teams that I just don't care to wear a jersey for. So, got kind of screwed there. But I got one more thing. You're a high school basketball coach. What is that like? I don't know. Like, I was a terror in high school for my swim coach and everything. And, like, my entire group, like, we were just absolutely terrible human beings to him. And he still yells at me to this day whenever I go to the pool. But I just want to know what that's like.
Man, it's so fun. Like, at first I was scared for that reason. Like, I wasn't – as a high school athlete, I wasn't that type of person. But I know like in high school, like I work at a high school as well. Like, I know there's always going to be those kids that are just going to mess, like try to get under your skin just because they can. Right. So like that was sort of my biggest thing, or the biggest thing I was worried about, I guess. But no, it's fun. It's fun because, like, if there's anything, like how much I love sports, I always want to stay involved in sports for as long as I can. So it's the way that I can get back in sports. And Like I said, I work in the school. I'm trying to be a teacher, so it's giving me good lessons to learn already. So by the time I do start teaching, like, I kind of already have an idea of, well, it's two different settings. It's still similar settings, whether classroom and a basketball court or whatever. You're still trying to the same objective, you know, it's differently, but it's fun. I coached at a different high school last year than I did this year, and this was my second year, so next year will be my third year coaching. But where I'm at now, it's great. The kids are fun. They seem to listen to me and enjoy me being a coach. So I try to stay connected as much as I can, try to just give them as much knowledge. It helps that I'm sort of still younger, so I think they see somebody that they can relate to. I try to give them as much knowledge that as I can, whether it's about basketball or just life in general. But man, it's one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's so rewarding putting things together and them going out and doing it. Like, there was one play, like just the simple thing of calling a timeout, drawing a play, and they do it and they execute it. How you do it? So I'm just like, yeah, I did that shit. You know, like it's the most rewarding feeling I've ever had in my life. So that's probably the best way to describe it. It's so much fun. I have a blast doing it. I love the kids and love basketball. So I just try to stay in it as long as I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I was a swim coach for summer league teams here in Huntsville, and for like 6-7 years, I don't know how long, but it's the coolest thing ever when you have a kid and you're like, hey, you're going to need to do this, this, and this. And then if you do those things, you'll probably win. And then they end up doing those things, and then they end up just tearing people up in the pool. Is the coolest thing ever because they're so excited, and then they want to make sure that you're so excited, and it's just a really cool experience to coach. And if I wasn't doing what I was doing right now or trying to do later on in life, I think coaching would be where I'd end up going because it's so fun. It is rewarding, like you said, and it's a good thing to see like kids actually listen and take things to heart and actually implement it into their lives and then take it outside of whatever sport they're in and be able to do that outside of where they're at, because that's the main objective, is to make good people, not good athletes.
Right. Exactly. So I've always tried to, every time there's, even obviously not just here, but if there's a loss, try to try to summarize the game in a way that it's always going to be a life lesson. You know, like for example, there was one game this year where we were up, should have won the game. We had a big enough lead where we should have closed out in the fourth. The refs were terrible. They got them back in the game. But the thing about it is, we didn't take advantage of the opportunity regardless of what happened. I'm never going to blame the game on the refs. You got to control what you can control. And there's always going to be situations in life where no matter how good you think you're doing or something, you have to finish your task. So there's always little things in each game that I try to just make sure that they know. So it's more than, like you said, more than just about sports or this particular moment. It's about life in general. So that's the fact that I have that power is really weird to me, but I love it. You know what I'm saying? Cause I wouldn't have that any other way. I wouldn't have that responsibility in any other thing that I'm doing in my life right now. So it's like, it's weird to think that me as 26 years old has this responsibility on kids, but it's exactly what I want to do. And I love it. So it's great.
All right, Aaron, do you have anything to plug?
I do not have anything to plug. Follow the Knicks wall. If you're a Knicks fan, I put my Twitter at first. If you want to follow me again at 2_YOUSEEIT. That's really all I got. Make sure you guys are continuing to listen to the Stoney Says podcast, though.
I appreciate that, man. So everybody, I want you all to stay safe out there. Be smart with everything that's going on. I know it's a hectic world out there. We try to provide you with some sports talk and a little bit of jokes here and there. Just get your mind off things for 40 minutes or whatever this is. I want everybody to stay safe, be smart, and keep doing what you're doing because y'all are doing great things. All right. I appreciate it. Aaron, stay safe, my guy. Thank you.
You as well, man.
All right. That's it.